Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. I'm Zoe Hieronymus. And as our regular listeners know, or you just heard in my little promotion for my website, ZoharaOnline.com, I am a dog lover, and I always have been. All of our dogs at our house are what are typically referred to as rescues. That means dogs from overcrowded shelters in Maryland and outside of Maryland. Dogs XL is a new breed of dog rescue. They're committed to the philosophy that there is no such thing, even though most of us might not agree, no such thing as a perfect dog, or for that matter, a perfect home. But the right dog is out there for everyone who's willing to open their heart and home to a canine companion. Dogs XL operates like a social networking service for dogs designed to match people and pets based on the principles of compatibility and compassion. Joining us to talk about their mission, their method, and how you might benefit or help is Dog XL founder Jessica Skopak. Thanks for joining us, Jessica.
Thanks so much for having me tonight.
You're welcome. So how did you get started, firstly, in dog rescue?
Well, just like yourself, I've always been a dog lover. We always had rescue dogs in my family growing up. But when I started with the rescue community was probably when I got back from Croatia. I was studying abroad, and I met my husband there, and we moved back here in 2008. And at that time, we were having, you know, some difficulty making new friends and meeting people. So we were looking for opportunities to kind of socialize ourselves and then also for our dog, Goober, who traveled with me to Croatia and back. She was used to having lots of doggy companions when we went out in Croatia. There's lots of dog cafes and things. So I started doing a little bit of research online and found a couple of volunteer opportunities. And we started volunteering with a couple of local area rescues, and we enjoyed it very much. It is a great way to meet people and other dogs as well. We decided that to fill a need in the Baltimore area, most of the rescue groups that we found that were super active were primarily based down in the D.C. area, and we got a little tired of driving that long commute each weekend, so we decided to start Dogs XL.
And the unique thing about Dogs XL, as one would seem to know, is in general, the majority of your dogs are large dogs. Why did you decide to focus on the large dog population?
Well, large dogs are actually statistically more likely to be put to sleep in shelters, primarily because they take up more resources and more space. So, you know, all of the veterinary care usually is based on the weight of the dog in terms of the cost of providing the services like anesthesia, medications. So it just costs more to provide those services for large dogs. Mm-hmm. And to feed them, and they take up more space. So shelters with limited means, you know, have to make tough choices every day. And if it comes down to saving five small dogs or one big dog, they usually go, you know, for the greater number. Also, because, you know, people do tend to like portable dogs and like to have dogs that, you know, are able to live comfortably in an apartment or in smaller spaces. A lot of adopters are looking primarily for smaller dogs, particularly in urban settings.
Mm-hmm.
So there's both the cost side of keeping them in the shelter and arranging for transport to adopters, and then there's also a lower demand in general. So
yeah,
that's why we decided to help the big guys. Plus, I'm personally kind of partial to big dogs. They're kind of my heart breed.
I have both, and I understand that inclination. And so I understand, like yourself, like other rescue groups, all of these dogs are not necessarily Maryland shelters, that we have a real problem in the southern states and in some of the Midwestern states, particularly since the downturn in the economy in 2008 and so many foreclosures. There are literally thousands of dogs that have lost their homes.
Absolutely, and mostly through no fault of their own. As you said, the economy has played a major role in dogs winding up in shelters. When people can't afford to feed their families or are forced to move into rental properties that, you know, it's really not their choice, They have to make tough decisions, and a lot of times the dogs really get the short end of the stick. Many of our dogs come from very rural areas where the state and the community also has fewer resources to devote to programs to support low-cost staying and neutering of pets. So animal overpopulation, again, just goes rampant because, you know, there's also less strict enforcement of leash laws and, you know, generally just keeping your pets contained. So you've got lots of dogs roaming around making puppies, and then nobody, you know, is available to care for the puppies. We find that in different areas of the country, there's kind of a surplus of certain kinds of dogs based on the interests and activities of the local population. So, for example, there are a lot of kind of people using dogs as hunting companions, like Labrador retrievers and hounds and other dogs that perhaps aren't so prevalent in this area are kind of more in higher demand in this area as family pets. And sometimes, for example, with hounds and Labradors and like even Great Pyrenees, which is the kind of dog that you yourself procured from us.
Right.
They may not be good at the job that they were designed for or that they were kind of, you know, originally purchased for. So maybe they're not a great hunting dog because they don't have the stamina, or they're just not very good at it, or they're not a good herding dog. So it makes them kind of useless to these people who are using them in that capacity. But that very quality of not being good at those jobs sometimes makes them ideally suited as family pets because, you know, people just want them to, you know, be kind of loving and lazy or playful. And those qualities aren't always good in a working dog, but great for a family dog.
You can go, if you're a listening audience, you know, there are all kinds of ways to be helpful. It's an amazing network of men and women around the country who do this kind of work, all the way from picking dogs up at a shelter, driving them 2 hours, to the next person that drives them for 2 hours, to the next person that drives them, until they come into like a group like Dogs XL. And you can find them online at www.dogsxlrescue.org, dogsxlrescue.org. And sometimes people become, they foster a dog. And so explain to us what fostering is, because I know rescue circles and particularly dogsxlrescue.org, you're always looking for additional fostering parents. Explain to how that works.
Sure, absolutely. That is the most critical point in our program and the most difficult part, I think, to satisfy the need for. We always have more dogs in need than homes available to care for them temporarily. And as you mentioned, many of our dogs come from out of area. So we have over two dozen shelter partners everywhere from Missouri and down to Louisiana, Georgia, all the way up the coast to Maryland and everywhere in between. So what we'll do is we'll develop a relationship with a shelter in one of those areas with some active volunteers locally that will go to the shelter, meet the dogs for us, kind of take pictures and pass on to us behavioral information about whether the dog gets along with other dogs, whether the dog gets along with people, really important kind of information for us to be able to know if we can help the dog or not. And then they will physically go to the shelter and pick up the dog and keep them locally for maybe a week to 10 days, get them their basic veterinary care, you know, get them free of parasites, hopefully, or at least started in the process. They have a safe place to stay until we can arrange for transport. Most shelters throughout the country and in Maryland as well don't hold dogs in the shelter for very long, sometimes because they just have too many dogs and not enough space. And sometimes it's just a policy decision that, you know, the dog has 3 days. If it's not reclaimed by the owner or adopted, the policy is to put them to sleep. So in that case, it's really important for us to have people local in those areas where the dogs can stay until we can arrange for the transport. So then the next step in the process is transporting the dogs to areas like Maryland and, you know, throughout New England. So if you have listeners farther north, there are lots of other, you know, local rescue groups that they can volunteer with as well. They can do a quick internet search on Pet Finder and see which rescue groups are kind of available in their area. So we need drivers. There are volunteer transports, which basically work like a relay. So you sign up to drive the dog maybe 1 or 2 hours, and then you hand the dogs off to somebody else. There are also a variety of professional transport services that we use sometimes if there isn't a volunteer transport available from the area where the shelter is.
So one way to volunteer is to be a driver. The next way is when these dogs come into like a location here, you all need foster homes if people haven't, after already just seeing their photograph, said they'll adopt them. So describe for us how that works. How if somebody in our audience says, well, you know, I don't really want to keep a dog, but I love dogs, so maybe I can help by having a dog in my home with my other animals for a while, or maybe they don't have any animals, but they used to. How does being a foster parent work?
Sure. So we have the local foster parents by the shelter that keep them for just a couple of days and get them ready to come to us. And then once they get here, we need somewhere for them to go until we find the right adoptive family. So the way foster care works is you go through the same process kind of an interview and just a general kind of informational session that we provide about, you know, proper dog ownership to make sure that you understand the responsibilities of, you know, taking a dog into your home. And we as a rescue provide all of the necessary items for caring for the dog. So as a foster, there's no cost associated with that. So if, you know, you're not in a secure financial position, but you still want to help and you love animals, fostering can be good because, you know, dogs are expensive to have, especially if they, you know, do have any kind of special health needs, which you don't always know about in advance. So we provide all the food, all of the, you know, collar, leash, the crate, if you know, you're gone part of the day and the dog is young, sometimes we recommend crating them so that, you know, they don't hurt themselves until they get to know things in the house. So basically any supplies the dog needs, the rescue provides. And then we ask our foster homes to bring the dogs to meet with adopters. We do have adoption events each weekend throughout the area. So if the dog is, you know, sort of well-adjusted and happy, well-socialized, we encourage people to bring the dogs there. If the dog has, you know, kind of any kind of anxiety or is still adjusting, then, you know, we'll arrange for the foster home to meet with adopters privately, you know, at their convenience. So the time commitment isn't much more than having a normal dog that is your own pet. We do welcome fosters who have their own pets as well. Many of our fosters wind up adopting one of their foster dogs from us, and that's fine, too. We just prefer that people make that decision before we have an interested adopter ready to pick them up. So, you know, we try to keep in constant communication so that we know how the dog is fitting into your family, to provide resources for training and behavior, and also to let us know if, you know, family is actually deciding to keep the dog as a permanent member of the family as well.
Right. So dogsxlrescue.org, when you go on their website, you can see the dogs that are available, and then you can fill out an application if you're interested either in fostering or adopting. And then you have an opportunity to go and meet them. And then when we come back after our break, Jessica, we'll talk about some of your other policies. It's a very unique rescue group, Dogs XL. And yes, I did adopt our beautiful Omaha, a beautiful, gorgeous white Pyrenees from South Carolina. I joke, we have Omaha from Cherokee land. We'll be back after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. I'm Zoe Hieronymus, and joining us is founder and director of Dogs XL Rescue. You can find them online at www.dogsxlrescue.org. So, Jessica, when somebody goes to your website and they see all these wonderful dogs and they go, oh, my gosh, I love that Shepherd, or oh, no, I want the Pyrenees, or oh, no, the Brindle, or oh, no, the Mutt. I mean, I fall in love with all of my dogs. Well, maybe I can adopt about 30. So what happens when...
Is a really great way to kind of get your fill of all that. You get constant kind of, you know,
dogs in and out
of different ones. Yep.
Well, and a lot of people do that. So if somebody in our audience says they want to foster and then they decide, well, they really want to keep the dog, that's one method. Another is they foster and then they decide they don't want to adopt the dog and they never had intended. How long does a foster family keep a dog before it gets adopted?
So the length of time a dog is in foster care is pretty variable, usually based on kind of the age of the dog and whether the dog has any behavioral or medical problems. If it's a young, healthy dog, you know, typically I would say 2 weeks is about average. But even for the dogs that maybe take a little longer, either just because the right person doesn't come along, the stars aren't aligned or whatever, or... you know, if the dog does have some special needs, it can be a couple of months. It can be, you know, up to my longest foster was about a year and a half. So sometimes it takes a little longer. But the great thing about fostering is if you have to go out of town for work or you have a vacation coming up, you know, we're really flexible about that. We can find a temporary place for the dog to stay during that time. Or if things aren't working out, we can always try to, you know, find a dog that's more compatible with your living situation. So the short answer is anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 years. But, you know, if you have time constraints, we can always work with that.
When you then again look for dogs, how many dogs do you generally feature each month in this process?
So at any given time, we usually have about 75 dogs available for adoption, both locally and that we've taken from the shelter and are waiting for transport to this area. So about 75 dogs. Last year, we adopted about 300 dogs in our very first year. So that was about 6 times more than our goal adoption rate. So we are very happy about that. And our goal this year is for 500 dogs. So we're coming up on, I think we just hit 200 this year so far. So I think we're moving toward our goal pretty well.
Well, the beautiful thing for those of us that are animal lovers and we don't want to see animals unnecessarily suffer but be put to sleep that don't need to be because there's no reason for it, it's a beautiful way to help. And hopefully we can stop some of these breeding puppy mills that not only breed dogs unnecessarily and overbreed them so they're not necessarily healthy, but they charge such extraordinary amounts of money to young families and people who may not have the resources when they could spend a lot less and save a dog that already lives and, you know, has some experience around people. And that's the other beautiful thing is having now adopted a number of dogs in my lifetime. It's amazing after just if you give them a few weeks to just adjust that you watch them start to open up and their personalities become really clear. And it's just a lovely thing to take part in saving these dogs.
That's my favorite part as well, is even when we get dogs that come in and they're very shy or they're even a little fearful of people, watching them come around and their personalities blossom and seeing how closely they bond to their people is really just beautiful. It's there's no better feeling in the world.
When you look at the work that you do, because you also have a full-time career as well or profession, how has this work affected your own life?
Well, it kind of does have a tendency of taking over your life, it's important to kind of try to stay balanced and not to, you know, get overwhelmed. But it always is a struggle to, you know, help as many dogs as we can while, you know, still preserving our personal sanity and relationships and also, you know, making sure that we're not so overextended that the work we're doing is compromised in quality. We try to be really sort of customer service oriented. I think that there is some impression or that there are people that have impressions that rescues are not super customer service friendly. I think that, you know, it's because we're all volunteers and we all do work full-time jobs. We have families. We have obligations. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to remember to be cheerful and to remember that, you know, people are, you know, expecting a level of professionalism from people who are volunteers. So I do, you know, urge people, whether it's with our rescue or any other rescue, to always remember that if we haven't responded immediately to an email or we sound a little tired on the phone, that's why.
Well, yeah. No, and it's true. Definitely. I've worked with other rescue groups both in Maryland and elsewhere. And like I said, it's an extraordinary group of men and women around the country who are really rising up to this challenge of overbreeding, overpopulation, and just great suffering, and sometimes tremendous torture by people who shouldn't be having dogs, and mm-hmm. either the dogs were confiscated by authorities or by friendly people who found out. I mean, some of these dogs have really been through the mill. So when Dogs XL Rescue, and you have these 70 dogs, 75 dogs or so, you all have an interesting policy that not all rescue circles do, which is that if somebody adopts a dog and something happens, maybe after a month or 2 months, they find out maybe one of their other animals, they're not getting along, or somebody all of a sudden has a terrible illness and they can't afford or they can't physically anymore even take care of a dog, you all ask that an adopter bring the dog back to Dogs XL. And that's a really extraordinary policy.
Absolutely. When we make a commitment to a dog, it's a commitment for life. So if anything should happen, there's always unforeseeable circumstances. Sometimes it's nobody's fault, and sometimes, you know, the dog needs to be in a different home, and it's more than a request. It's actually in our contract that we ask people to bring the dog back to the rescue so that we know for our peace of mind that, you know, the dog isn't going to wind up in a shelter or in a situation where they're, you know, being abused or endangered again. So I think that's another thing to, you know, remind people. A lot of the time there's some resistance to the rescue community when we are asking questions of adopters. We as a rescue do try to be as non-invasive and as flexible as possible with our policies. There are other rescues that do have firm policies that you must have a fence or they won't adopt people with small children or, you know, whatever the case may be. But the reason for those policies, whether, you know, the rescue has them or like us is more flexible, it's really for the protection of the dogs and in recognition that some of these dogs are coming from really bad circumstances. And I think that as somebody who has worked in rescue, it's not always the pleasant side of humanity that you see. And if you haven't worked in rescue and you haven't seen that, sometimes it does seem like, you know, we're interrogating people unnecessarily, but it's really unfortunate and surprising what some people are capable of, and we need to make sure that, you know, our adopters are not those people.
And also what happens if having now rescued a number of dogs in my lifetime is sometimes they have, like one of my dogs had never really lived among a family, and if you open the door, she took off. No matter what we did until finally, unfortunately, she got hit by a car as a result of it and was put in a hip sling for 2 months, and then she became a dog. And she's the most phenomenal dog, my beloved Bella. But so when these dogs come from these circumstances, some of them just don't know what it's like to be a loved domestic dog. So their fear is more overwhelming than any good food and any good love. And sometimes it just takes being very patient and very caring and very nurturing, which I just think what you all do is magnificent. Go to www.dogsxlrescue.org. Is there a phone number, Jessica, that you prefer to give out publicly?
Sure. You can reach our voicemail service at 410-205-5014. That is an answering service, so no one will probably pick up right away, but we will always get back to you with any questions that you have.
So again, that's 410-205-5014. That's 410-205-5014. And the website, dogs, xlrescue.org. We have about a minute. Is there anything else you've not shared you'd like to tell us about?
Yes, we are having our second annual, big annual fundraiser, 5K walk, on Sunday, May 20th at 9 a.m., and it's going to be at Rockburn Branch Park in Elk Ridge, Maryland. So we would really encourage you all to visit the website and find the details and come and join us that day.
All right. That's Sunday, May 20th in Elk Ridge, Maryland. You can get all the details at www.dogsxlrescue.org. And now, as a happy owner of Omaha, who is from Dogs XL, I can tell you the men and women that are working with them are a wonderful group of volunteers. And if you have it in your life, the time and the heart to be a foster parent or to adopt a dog in need, please call them at 410-205-5014 and find them online at www.dogsxlrescue.org.
Things are gonna be just fine if we only will. All I really mean to say is shower the evil
love. Breaking news now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio.